All right, it is 7:08 here on Saturday Morning Live on 980 WCV. Don't look at the clock, Betsy Murphy, because it's not right.
I was going to say, I was going to correct you, which always makes me happy.
I have Betsy Murphy. I have Tim Woods. I have Allison Volpe all here before the microphones. We're just going to have a chat about the state of the Dragon Public Schools. We have some questions that we're going to ask that are, this isn't designed to be a debate or to make them fight with each other. This is just a conversation. So we're going to start it off with, we'll start with Betsy. Give us your current assessment of the state of the Dragon Public Schools.
Just, it's a huge
But I mean, just in a minute, good, so bad.
I know. I've been trying to think how, you know, we are moving in the right direction, and I hate that statement because it's so bland and so huge. Having said that, I'm still concerned about the things I was concerned about when I ran 3 years ago, which is we don't have the reading teachers and guidance counselors that I'd like to see. Those folks not only do the right things for kids, they're an investment financially in the sense that we have fewer kids that end up on IEPs because they have services that were not provided to them, and then the problem grows. I'd like to see more teachers, especially at the elementary school level, because we've got some pretty big classes. Like to see some more AP courses at the high school, more electives available at the high school.
So there's still, on balance, you're not satisfied?
No.
Right. Tim Woods is a, Betsy, by the way, is an incumbent member of the school committee at the end of her first term on the board. Tim Woods is a former school board member, former athletic director. You taught for a bit in the schools. Good morning, Tim.
Good morning, Warren. How are you doing?
I don't think that mic is on.
Good morning.
So let's make sure that mic
good
is
morning.
Going. Yep, go ahead.
Are we working?
All right, so.
Yeah, I've been around the block. I started off at Brockton High School. It's at St. Mike's.
I don't think it's right. Is his mic good? Yes.
All right. I can turn mine.
No. Go ahead, Tim.
And
is that coming out right? We're not right. It's okay? Okay, good. Just.
Okay. Yeah, so you mentioned my experience. I've been around the block. I started off at Brockton High School, St. Michael's School, Neshova Tech for 20-something years. I was at Draker High School, Lowell High School in my tenure, and I'm back at it. So I was on the board for three terms.
Thinking it was two or three.
Hang on, we're gonna tap that thing.
I don't think that's working. That is not working, right?
Okay. No, it wasn't coming across. We were picking him up from there.
All right, so let's give him that microphone. We'll shift back and forth. No big deal.
I don't mean to invade your personal space here. Shall we start over?
No, I mean, I think they picked up what you had. It just didn't sound like, you know. So, but, I mean, get into, you know, that whole question of where the status of the Draker Public Schools and what your thoughts are.
Yeah, so I'm back. I think that in the Draker Public Schools right now, I think the kids succeed extremely well in spite of poor leadership from the top down. I think that the leadership has deteriorated. I don't think that the priorities are where they should be. And I think that's why I'm back, throwing my hat back in the race. I was on a board that cooperated with the towns in to the extent that we built a brand new school, the first school that was built in town in over 30 years with no debt exclusions, no tax overrides, and that's the type of leadership that we need now.
Allison Volpe is a parent activist, I would say. You were one of the ones that stood up at town meeting and voiced your opinion on Draker Public Schools, and a number of us inspired you to or convinced you ought to throw your hat in the ring. So
absolutely.
Give us your sense of what...
Well, I am a mother of two in the Draker Elementary Schools, Brookside Elementary, and I echo many of Mrs. Murphy's concerns about the state of the schools. I have kids in the schools. I'm there. I see how it is. Class sizes are large. And we need some extra teachers and some social-emotional services. I have to disagree with Mr. Woods about our leadership. Recently, I attended a parent input session from the Draker Elementary and Secondary Education Department. Around 40 parents were there expressing their concerns with the Draker Public Schools. Number one, class size is too big. Number two, not enough instructional resources.
Where are the class sizes too big? In the
elementary,
below fourth grade type of stuff?
K through five, yep. Class sizes are too big, not enough instructional supports. Top things, they're impressed with the leadership and the stability in the leadership. And the teachers, naturally, are the number one that parents are happy with. So I wouldn't say it's a leadership problem. I wouldn't say it's a teacher problem. I definitely think it's a resource problem.
All right. Sean Ash has got a problem. We'll stop back with
I got a general question. I've always had a problem.
Watch out.
I started this discussion with Alice on the Facebook this week. It's how do you measure the success of a school system?
Are you going to start with who?
Let's start with Allison. And come
we'll
back
let Allison keep the microphone and work backwards.
How do you measure the success of a school system? Okay, well, if you're looking at test scores, it depends. Are we talking about personal success, whether our kids are getting into the colleges they want to get into? Are we talking about our scores? Are we rated top with MCAS scores? I mean, I guess it depends on your definition of success. Personally, for me, my children's happiness, their well-rounded education, they're not being bullied, they're not being intimidated, they're happy to go, that they have enough choices when they go to high school, you know, that they want to stay in Dracut Public Schools. They want to go from the middle school right to the high school. Looking at the high school level while looking about, are they ready for college? Are they ready for the workplace? Are they ready for the military? So that is my definition of success. I think, unfortunately, in Massachusetts, with Common Core, which is a different issue, our standard of success is measured by test scores. I think that's how the state measures it right now, but I think success is defined in other ways.
All right. Same question, Tim.
Okay. Yeah, good question. I think certainly MCAS gives us a very good standard by which to measure all the towns on an equal footing. And if you're looking at the MCAS scores, Dracut is a level 3 school system. That's out of 4 levels. That's not good. That's not above average.
How long has it been rated like that?
2 years. At least the last 2 years.
Yep.
And there's not a single school in Dracut that's a level 1 school. So I think that in a suburban community like we have, you're going to tell me not one of your schools can be a level 1 school, and that we're paying for a level 3 school system. So that's an issue. I think that beyond the MCAS, I think people in Dracut are voting with their feet, so to speak. Enrollment, for example, at Greater Lowell Voc has increased by 60% in the last 10 years. And that says something. I mean, if you have a thriving school system, people want to send their kids to your school. If you look at Chelmsford, you know, all these towns around us, everybody wants to go to the local hometown school. That's not happening in Dracut. And that, in my opinion, leads to a lot of funding problems. Every time a student leaves your door and goes to Greater Lowell Voc, that's $17,000 that goes with that student. The net school for Drake is only 10, but when they go to Greater Lowell, it goes to 17 for other reasons. Enrollment in charter schools has skyrocketed. So I think that you're getting a measure right there about what's going on.
All right, Betsy, same question.
Some interesting points that the folks have made here. See, I'm never told to be louder, so I'm always conscious of the fact, so I'm...
Betsy, don't be louder. Don't be
Exactly. Usually it's, would you please be quiet? The success of a school system, to a degree, it's the audience that you ask. The state has a certain measure, and then they are generally using test scores, and Mrs. Volpe's right in that sense. Although there's many, many metrics that the state uses. One of them is test scores. One of them is a dropout rate. One of them is how many students are on IEPs. They have a whole list of things. And those are very data-driven. And education as a whole profession has become very data-driven, probably since IDEA. However, it's not just the state. It's what does that particular community want their high school to be? What kind of people do we want to produce from Dracut High School? That may be different than Chelmsford High School or Tewksbury High School or whatever. When it kind of, you know, who knows? So some of it has to do with that. What kind of people do we want to produce from Dracut High School? I'm not quite sure that some of the statements made about people leaving Dracut High School that Mr. Woods just made has anything to do with the points that he was making. I think one of the reasons that some people are leaving and going to the Voc or charter schools is we don't have the things that students need, or at least their parents perceive, to be as successful as they want their children to be when they leave Dracut High School. That's not the fault of the Dracut Public Schools, per se. It's a fact of the...
All right, so I get it. Talk to us a little bit more, because the level 3 thing was brought up, and I don't know anything about
Well, let us educate you.
So you do that. So tell me, how long have schools been rated that way?
I don't know how long. It's been a pretty considerable amount of time.
Since you were on the board the first time? 10 years? Maybe 10 years.
And I would have to say I probably would concur with that because they were level three when my children were in elementary school. Right. And my oldest is now in college.
So they haven't gone. They've just been sideways. There's been no improvement.
No, it's not true. As strong as your weakest school. That's how the state determines it. So the middle school, used to be the junior high school, has been a level three school because of the math scores since a very long time. Okay, so Dragon High School is level two, and the elementary schools are level two, and there was a time Dragon High not too long ago was level one, if I'm not mistaken. I need to double check, but I believe that's the case. So you're only as strong as your weakest school. That's number one. So the idea that the entire district is actually level three, in actuality, is not true. Does that make sense?
I don't know anything about the system. But
it can be very complicated, so I want to make sure I go step by step, and it's very clear.
The system is a level three system.
I could add, Lowell is also a level three district, just to give you some perspective, because it is based on the entire district. So Lowell does have some good schools. We do have some level one elementary schools, but overall it's a level three district, just to give you some perspective.
So we're called the level three district.
Sure, absolutely.
Tim, what do you say? Is that your understanding of it?
Please, please do not compare Dracut to the city of Lowell for MCAS in academic achievement. Total different ball of wax.
So, but the level three thing.
Level three.
Do we agree that there could be other schools that are higher, that are in better shape than level three in the Dracut?
In the system, yeah. Right. Most of the schools are level two.
Right.
My point beyond that is that why is it that none of the schools are level one school?
Right.
That's where we should be.
Right.
And don't tell me that, well, we're making progress, because every year, the annual growth percentage increases.
All right. My texter's question was, how do you intend to address the findings of the Financial Review Board that spent, Betsy, you served on it.
I did.
So I'm going to leave it with Tim, because he finished the last question. We'll let him answer this question. The board that the Board of Selectmen and School Board put together to talk about the deficiencies, financial deficiencies. Do you see yourself supporting their recommendations?
Quite frankly, at this point, when it applies to the municipal side of government, yes. For the Dracut Public Schools, no. And I'll tell you why. Dracut Public Schools do not have a funding problem. They have a spending problem. You can't keep pouring money into a leaking boat, and the priorities right now are not there. When you have a school system that is going to the town and asking for another override. Now, last year, our first override kicked in. We get another $100 on our tax bills because we just built a new school. And now to come back for more money for the schools, when you turn around and you're giving your top executive an 8% pay raise, shows up a red flag. It says to me either, number one, the school administration, school committee has a lot more money than what they're saying, or number two, their priorities aren't correct. Either way, and they can't prioritize. So either way, it's not good.
Right. So the question was, how do you suggest addressing the deficits identified by the Joint Budget Task Force?
The first thing I would do is fix the leaks in the boat, and that is I would turn my priorities around.
Yeah.
All the kids that are leaving the schools, I would put on a recruitment and education process within the towns to keep more schools, more children in the towns. You're talking about millions of dollars that Dracut spends on education that doesn't go to the Dracut Public Schools. So I would do a better job of doing that. And to say that we don't have enough teachers and all that, our enrollment has gone down over approximately about 500 students. So those are two ways I would start right there. Right. I wouldn't be granting $50,000 in pay raises to a handful of individuals who have captained a level three system.
Right. All right, Betsy, you're up. The question, how do you suggest addressing the deficits identified by the Joint Budget Task Force? You served on it, so.
I did serve on it, absolutely. Yep. This coming Monday at the school committee meeting, we will have a discussion, the five of us, about what we're going to recommend to the Board of Selectmen, because they will make the final decision about what ballot initiatives will go on. But my suggestion, quite honestly, at this point, is going to be some number for an override that supports the institution of the kind of technology that's going to be really important to our school system, including a voice internet voice over internet. Thank you, Jerry. Which is crucial for the schools to be able to speak to one another. That's particularly a concern to me because of safety issues. Unfortunately, we have to deal with that in a way now that we didn't when I was a child. And I also want to make sure that we have at least the start of rebuilding the staff, reading teachers and guidance counselors and elementary school teachers that were cut in 2012. So whatever number that's going to be, I don't exactly know. I have an idea that's probably going to be in the half a million mark, but I don't know that because I need to hear what my colleagues have to say on Monday night. Mm-hmm. And there needs to be an open discussion about what are we going to get for our money and what's the best thing for the town at the same time.
Right. Okay. Allison, same question. What? How do you suggest addressing the deficits identified by the Joint Budget Task Force?
So, okay, just to start with, I just wanted to make it clear to the audience that it's not a Drakeit problem with spending with the schools. It's a statewide problem. There was a recent joint commission review of the foundation, Chapter 70 foundation spending for the state of Massachusetts, and recommendations were the calculations need to be changed. So I think for the entire state of Massachusetts, funding is not enough. Level fund or base funding for our schools is not enough. So I think it's a it's a very complicated problem. So I can't necessarily say it's a Drakeit spending problem because the money that we're not getting from the state for the rising costs of health care and benefits and special education, we still have to spend the same amount per pupil for our students. So we're getting less money from the state. We're not meeting the rising costs of education. So the money that we have, the schools have to put towards these other areas is being taken away from instructional learning. So I wanted to throw that statement out there. What would I do? I'm an auditor by profession. I had asked at one of the tri-board meetings to do an independent audit of the entire school system. If elected, I would go in with my auditing hat on and as a new face and a private industry perspective, I'd want to look at the org chart. I'd want to see who our employees are. I would want to see where the money is going. That's why I think an independent audit is going to be crucial for the school, for the town, to really give the town the information so they can make the choices themselves.
So do you think that if there's an independent audit, do you think that the town should have some influence over how it's conducted?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I do.
Yep. All right. Sean Ash, you're up.
I was going to say about 3 or 4 years ago, our enrollment was well over 4,000, almost 4,050, I think I remember. Now we're down to about 3,600 last I looked. Can you explain the exodus and what we can do about it?
So let's let Allison keep it, and then we'll walk back the other way. So.
To explain the exodus, I think we have to ask the parents. And from the parents that I've spoken to, there is a perception that the town does not care about the schools. Whether it's real or not, it's a perception. Parents don't believe that their children are going to get a competitive education in Drakeit Public Schools.
So how do you square that with a lot of them are going to the Voc?
What do you mean? Because
some of the students leaving are going to the vocational school, which Drakeit also supports.
Exactly. Well, I mean,
there is a question there about, like, do the fees drive some of them there? Because
true.
They don't have to pay for the bus transportation. They don't have to pay for sports.
Yeah.
And by this time next year, they may be having free lunch.
Well, one of the things I want to look at is transportation. I mean, why are we spending so much money in transportation, sending kids to these the Voc, for one? I think the transportation budget for the Voc is extremely expensive compared to the town school, so that would be a way we could look at cost savings. But
right.
Why are they leaving? I think those very reasons.
All right, Tim.
Yep.
So much to say. Well, for one thing, the other schools, perception is everything. And when the school committee constantly comes to the town and says, we don't have this, we don't have that, we don't have this, and they're constantly crying black sheep, you know, poor sheep here, that sends a perception out to the towns that there is a deficit there. The fact of the matter is students do achieve extremely well in the Drakeit schools. So the school committee needs to tighten their bootstraps, run an efficient ship, and make better use of the money that they have. You mentioned the fees. That's another reason about the fees. In Mrs. Murphy's time on the board, they have doubled fees twice, 200%. Not only that, well, I can tell you because I was the athletic director and I know what the fees that were being charged were. In this last time, not only did they double the fee from $150 to $300 per sport, they took away the waiver that said that children who had reduced lunch, didn't have to pay the fee. In my opinion, a lot of those kids are the ones that need it the most. And what did they do with the extra money? Gave $50,000 in pay raises to the top executives.
Betsy, you're up.
Okay. It was my understanding this was a discussion on the Drake at Public Schools, but it's beginning to feel a little bit personal.
Don't take it.
No. I mean, these are issues.
In the sense that...
I wouldn't let him attack you personally.
No.
It is a conversation about the... And that's one of the issues, so...
I understand that. Right. I just want to make sure that we're staying on the same
wavelength
about what the conversation is going to be about.
After you finish, we're going to take a quick break.
So. Okay. First of all, in my tenure on the board, you're incorrect. Fees went up once while I was there, not twice. Number one.
Twice in the last 4 years, then.
All right.
Do you understand why that's important to distinguish?
Because when you make a statement about it,
it's an important detail.
All right. Because
you're talking about my decisions.
Right, so let Betsy answer.
Thank you.
Joyce, yours.
So, both of my colleagues here are absolutely correct. We are losing people to the technical high school. One of the reasons that we're losing people to the technical high school are some of the reasons that you just mentioned. Mm-hmm. People concerned about having to pay fees. People concerned that their children are going to be able to get a college education, but also have the advantage of not having to pay the fees. There is no doubt about that. I guess my concern is that we are saying that it's okay to make that decision if you want your child to have a college education. And we provide a better academic rigorous program. And I think there are a number of people who have made that same conclusion once they've gone because they've come back, number one. Number two, I would love to get rid of fees. That would be great. I'd be happy to do that. We had the money to do that. I would happily do that. Number three, in regard to the raises that were given to senior administration, I understand that some people didn't agree with that. I'm okay with people disagreeing with me. That's going to happen when you're on a board. I'm all right with that. You and I, Mr. Woods, disagree about whether or not the leadership is doing what they need to do.
Okay.
And one of the reasons that you secure the road that you're on is to make sure that people are paid what they're worth and what they're competing at in the area that they're living in.
Okay. It is 7:30. We're going to take a break, give these people a chance to regroup, and we'll be back.
Drinks and craft beers at the Firewater Tavern and every...
All right, we're back. We are talking Drake at Public Schools. We've got the three candidates, at least for now. There could be others.
We have
Betsy Murphy, we have Tim Woods, we have Allison Volpe all here. They want to be on the Drake at School Committee for the next 3 years, and we've been just having a conversation about some of the issues. I think a lot of them have been brought up. And one of the questions that has not been brought up that has been, I guess, more of an issue in Lowell, Jerry is going to ask him about it.
There's a lot of talk about POC testing and MCAS, and everyone is eventually going to go to MCAS 2.0 or 0.02, whatever they call it. But are you in favor of switching to POC? Until then, Lowell just voted to go to POC. What do you feel about POC versus MCAS? Now, in Lowell, by the way, they're allowed to take a paper test. It's not does not have to be computerized.
For now, exactly. If you're asking my opinion about whether or not we should switch Drake and Public Schools, no. And we just took a vote a month ago to stay with MCAS, eventually going to be 2.0, for a variety of reasons, one of which is to go to Park, you're going to have the kind of computer technology. We just do not have the infrastructure for that, number one. And number two, the curriculum we're teaching, which, by the way, has, as you know, Mrs. Volpe, has been a Common Core for 5 years, that it's not going to align what we're teaching and what they're going to be testing. Oh, my God, it would be a nightmare.
All right.
I was going to give you my microphone, but I realize you have one.
Absolutely not in favor of switching to the POC. You know, short-term answer, it doesn't give us anything that the MCAS doesn't give us already. I would absolutely stick with MCAS right now and then progress the MCAS too. It's much more, why make a double transition?
All right, Allison.
I think we found one area where we all agree that I would definitely stay with MCAS 2. The MCAS 2 is supposed to upgrade and encompass the changes in the curriculum, and it's also supposed to take the good things from the park. So it doesn't make sense, in my opinion, to switch horses midstream.
And may I add one more thing to that?
You may.
If you wouldn't mind. And I suspect, since this is an area on which we all agree, I had some personal concerns about the ethics of changing to park, because the folks that are financially invested in that system are also the people who are making decisions about it. So that, to me, just...
Welcome to public education.
I understand that. I get it. Yeah, I get it.
Since we have a couple new people running here, and since I'm not from Drake, I can ask this question. Do you support the current superintendent and to Betsy, and is there an evaluation process in place for the superintendent, and how do you feel about the evaluation process that's in place now?
All right, ship it to Tim. We'll start with Tim, and then we'll go to Allison, and then back to Betsy.
Yes, there is an evaluation process in place. It's been in place since I was on the board. When I got on the board in 1993, there was nothing there. And we adapted state standards and implemented them. Warren knows quite well what the scenario. It was a very difficult time, and we put that in place. I think it's good, and I think it works. It's only as good as the school committee, to be honest with you. You know, how what their perception is. And quite frankly, I don't agree with their perception. I think I've already gone on record that I disagree very strongly with the leadership at Drake Public Schools, and they've made a lot of bad decisions in the last few years, and it's shown by the numbers of kids in the schools and the public discontent with the status of the schools.
Allison.
Hi. Okay, so one of the things about me that's unique is that I am in a private sector, so I come with a different perspective. I'm not an educator, even though I'm educated, but I'm not an educator. So I'm going to come in with, like I said, an auditing perspective. And also, in my current job, my raises are goal-driven, so I'm not sure what the current evaluation process is. That would be something I'd be very interested to look more into. And I know for my job, my evaluation and my benefits, etc., would be very goal-driven. So I would like to see more specific goal-driven. I just lost my train of thought, but I think you get it.
Yeah, exactly.
And I'm out of coffee, but you know, definitely I would
get on that. Somebody,
I'm not afraid to ask questions. Obviously, I spoke up in front of so how many hundred people last June because I was frustrated. So I think one of the things,
to your credit,
thank you.
It's not easy to do.
I think one of my strengths is asking questions, and I don't have a problem. I think Mr. Stone is doing a good job. I honestly do. I think that his leadership, he's turning the schools around. I think he has some excellent principles. So I think keeping consistent leadership at this point is important for our schools. The parents like the principals. You know, that is key. The parents like the students. As far as the rest of the administration, I have no problem asking questions of our top CEO.
So while you have the ball, your two opponents have opined on the matter of the raise. Do you want to give an opinion now or no?
I can give my opinion.
Yeah.
I understand why it was given. I know that he was not at a competitive salary. I know there were some other openings in our schools. I think it was key to keep him. I would not have supported a raise at this time. Like I said, I would have wanted to make sure that my raises were very goal-driven. You know, okay, get us to a level two in the Richardson, then we'll talk. So personally, that's what I would have done. I understand why they did what they did, but personally, I would have waited until we were a bit more stable.
It's all yours, Betsy.
Okay, I actually forgot what the original question was, to be quite honest with you.
That happens.
It definitely happens. There is an evaluation process in place for our current superintendent. To my knowledge, it is different than the one that you, Mr. Woods, and your colleagues used in the 90s. And the reason I'm confident saying that is that the evaluation system that we currently have is driven by reforms, whether you like that word or not, that have come from the state level in the Superintendent's Association. So this is what happens, this, at least in its current iteration. The school committee shares with our superintendent somewhere in August, September, what are your priorities? What do you want for the Drake school system for the coming year?
Yep.
I said, I'm not going to speak for my four colleagues because I don't remember exactly what they said. I said, I want guidance counselors. I want reading, all the things I've already said.
Yep.
You've heard it all. Okay. So with that in mind, the superintendent takes the compilation of what everybody has said and looks at the rubric of, I don't even know how many things the superintendent has to do today versus what they had to do 20, 25 years ago, and aligns our priorities that we share publicly with what is on that rubric that he needs to accomplish. And then we look at it and say, do these rubric points match up to what we say are the priorities of Draycott Public Schools? Those are the goals that he has to meet. Those are the goals that he has to exceed. Those are the goals that he has to maybe not meet. I don't know, because we can't determine that until the end of the school year.
Just to define that a little better, and I guess sure. I think I understand it. But so he's taking the individual the individual responses from members and putting them together. Are these things voted on?
I wish I had a.
So I guess my question.
If you were on TV, I could show it to you.
So my question is, do the goals
yep.
that are set for the superintendent
yep.
actually get voted on by the committee?
Yes.
All right. And I'm fine with it. As long as it's
okay.
not, as long as he's not trying to address individual goals from individual
no.
school board members.
And if I can just nitpick a little bit.
Are you done, first of all?
Well,
with your response, before he nitpicks.
No. I'm not.
Does the lady wish to relinquish the floor?
Never.
All right.
My husband's probably laughing. She'll never relinquish the floor.
All right. So you get another minute.
I think it's important to recognize that the goals that are created are not whimsical in any way, shape, or form. That's a really important point to make. And I forgot my second point now, but it may come back to me, so I'll let you know.
So you're done. Tim Woods, nitpick.
You know, you mentioned that the evaluation tool that you have in process is based upon ed reform, and the one we put in was not.
No, I didn't say that. I didn't say that.
Came across. So anyways, it was. What we put in was based upon ed reform and the reform. Now, you can tweak it any way you want, but it's basically the same thing. So, but anyway, that's not the issue.
That's not right. Yeah. So, all right. So we got, do we have any, Sean Ash, do you have any follow-ups?
Of course he does.
Because we do. We're running short
Look
of time.
Look at him. He's rubbing his head. He's thinking.
I have a question. Just well, to throw this out.
Okay.
All right.
Now, at a recent meeting.
Look at the mic.
You. Yeah, because we're on TV. At a recent meeting, the school committee voted to embark upon their own audit. To embark upon.
Sorry. Not because it sees you back.
Yeah.
Because it hears your voice better.
Right. The school committee voted to embark upon their own audit
mm-hmm.
instead of the one that was used by the town.
Let me enhance on that a little bit.
Okay.
And is this audit going to be done by someone in the education establishment or someone outside, as Allison talked about, from the general public sector?
It hasn't been determined yet. We don't know who's doing it yet. Right now we're under a state audit, and then we have to do another audit. So, what do I think?
Sorry, so
I haven't even thought about it, to be quite honest with you.
So Tim was halfway through a question.
So my point is that the town offered to include the school department within the audit that they're doing for the fire department, the police department, every other department in town. And the school committee decided that they were going to do their own audit.
Mm.
Now, the town would have paid for the $25,000, and the school department's going to spend $30,000 on their own. I know you. It was mentioned that the company hasn't been picked yet, or the source hasn't been picked yet, but I just question that. Why don't we tie into these again, going back to financial decisions?
Right. All right, Allison. Sure.
Yeah, I tend to agree with Mr. Woods on that. I think the town should pay for it, because I want this to be an objective audit. I want there to be no question that this is done.
Right.
By someone other than the schools, because it's either going to vindicate or vilify, or anywhere in
between.
I agree
with that.
So
I've avoided making opinions here, but that if the schools do it, you don't bother doing it.
I agree with that. Especially the town has offered the money. Let the town pay for it, you know, and then let them do it. That way, there's no question. There's no question.
Okay.
I don't think the school has anything to hide. And
nobody is suggesting that they do.
Exactly.
But it's just, I mean, I think to address that particular matter, when you look at what's been done with police.
Right.
And there has been, which side you come down on, what their findings were, there are some important pieces of information that came out of that that will drive what could be a ballot question in this spring.
And
so
I think it's important that they have
you want
something good and bad
that,
in there.
Right, that at least is not, sort of contaminated by people that have insider perspective. But so we got 6 or 7 minutes left, and I guess the big thing is now, Sean, do you have anything with it? I do think we need to get into the to, to get an answer out of them all about what they think about a ballot question coming up in the spring. But you have something, feel free.
Well, I did want to say, in terms of that audit issue, I think part of the reason they did it this year was because they wanted to get an audit done before the ballot question. The town wasn't going to get to the school for years, you know, so they were only doing one department a year.
Well, you're not going to get it one way or another. You're not going to get an audit of the school
in time
system
for
done by
March,
spring.
May. No. Right, I agree. Right. Yeah, so. But I would put a question out there is, what do you think the ballot question should be this year?
If any. You don't have to marry one. So.
Well, good thing, because I'm taken. Just saying. Mike Murphy,
so you haven't made senior. Up you haven't made up your mind?
Made up my mind about what exactly we should put on the ballot.
What he asked.
One question, two questions.
One question.
You think it should be one question?
I do. My guess is somewhere around $1 million.
So you think one question that addresses needs on both sides of the so-called municipality schools and
yes.
town? Tim Woods?
I would have, to be honest with you, I might have leaned that way until, I mean, recent events have demonstrated to me that the school department's ship is not in order. They don't have their priorities straight. You can't tell the town you don't have enough money and then turn around and vote an 8% pay raise for your top administrator. After the town manager got a 2%, and the teachers have fought tooth and nail for 0.5%, and the police for 0.5%, and you give one person 8%, that doesn't tell me that you know how to spend the money, and the performance hasn't shown it. So at this point, I'd have to go with separate ballot issues. And you know what? I don't refer to it as the school department on one side and the town on the other, because I think it's the school department, it's the police department, it's the fire department, the municipal side. I think they have demonstrated and quantified needs at that side, but I can't see including the school department in that this year.
Allison.
So when I first started the Joint Budget Task Force meeting, attending the meetings, the whole point was to come up with a unified solution for the entire town. I think splitting any type of override or what have you, it's going to be counterproductive at this point. That being said, if the only way we're going to get money for our town is to have a split override, I say we need to have something on the ballot. I don't want people to forget about the option of a debt exclusion, because we definitely need infrastructure in our schools and in our town. So if people are not going to give an override because of its school money is included, which I'm against, I hope that they would at least consider the debt exclusion to get some of our infrastructure updates.
All right. Well, that's a pretty complete conversation, I think. Did I leave anything out? Any one of the three, you want to throw anything out? We got a couple of minutes left.
No,
this is not a debate, so I don't think it's appropriate.
It's a conversation.
Exactly.
It's a conversation. Sure.
Oh,
Allison wants to plug the telethon.
Drakett Scholarship Fund annual telethon is coming up March, Betsy, 16th through 18th, I think the dates are.
Sounds about yes. right, although I remember the top of my head.
Yes.
Third week in March.
Yeah, the 16th through the 18th, 6 to 9 p.m. Come to Drakett High School to support the Drakett Scholarship Fund.
And Mrs. Murphy, you wanted
yes.
to promote something in the fire department. Is
their Firefighters Ball is February 27th. It's $40 per person. I know this because we just purchased tickets. I've been in the past. It's a lovely evening. And I hope if you have a chance, you buy some tickets and go. It's at Lenzie's. That's about it.
Is it true that the telethon is the best part of being on the school committee?
I'm all present.
I was actually just texted that by a former member of the school committee, which is...
There you go. There
yeah.
You go.
Well, I think it'll be an interesting spring for all three of you. And, you know, we don't know that will be the end of it. I've not heard of anybody else that wants to run for school committee.
Hey, March 14th. People have to March 14th to get their signatures.
You know, just if you look around, generally, the participation in school board races has gone down.
There's a reason for that.
Right. So the two people in there's two open seats on the Chumson School Committee. Two people are running. The last person that got elected to the Tingsboro School Committee got elected on write-ins because there was nobody running.
You have to have a joy for this that is intrinsic.
Oh. Yeah. I mean, I've been in education my whole life at every level, every different type of school, and it is my passion. There's no doubt about that. You know?
Yeah. Well, as you pointed it, as he pointed out correctly, he and I served in government together, and we did have our fair share of strong discussions, but...
Shocking.
Well, there's nothing wrong with
floored.
That.
There,
there's
well,
nothing wrong
when
with
you
that.
Think about
that's
what
not
we
what
did.
I'm saying. Right. I
think
would
about
agree
what
with
we
you.
Did to get that school building built. Yeah. It was amazing. Right. It was night after night. You, me, Dennis Williams.
Right. Jack Tertullio. There, yeah. there was a lot of... yeah, there was a lot of... but we all walked out of it feeling good about ourselves because,
good.
You know, we did something productive and... Right. You know, there was nobody that was left bleeding and, you know, yeah, Allison.
And politics aside, I am a newbie to politics, good, bad, or otherwise.
How long have you been in town?
I've lived in town, it'll be 11 years.
And are you related to the former governor?
Yes, my husband is.
All right.
Wow. Yes, my yeah. husband's grandfather's cousins somehow related to former Governor Volpe. But... you know.
And how long have you been in town, did you say? I'm sorry.
About 11 years.
About 11 years.
And I moved to Drake it because I wanted... to go, my kids to go to school in Drake, thinking, you know, it's a great town, it's a beautiful town.
Well, that's true.
That my, is, I was just yeah. saying, those things are still true.
My yeah. kids are in the school now. That is my reason. I have no, there's no better reason.
You know
reason.
What, I do feel bad that just, that there are some out there that unfairly criticize the quality of public education in Drake, and none of them show up to run for school committee, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. And I think that does some harm to the image. But
All you have to do is look at the destinations where Drake High School graduates go after, and that says volumes. The kids succeed to an amazing extent.
Mm. We just had one of our kids announce that he was accepted to MIT last week.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's typical. You know, look at this good thing Zach Durkin's doing.
Right.
By the way, I'd like to give a shout-out to Joe Wilkie and wish him the best in, you know, health-wise and all that.
Yeah. Joe had a bit of an issue. We can't talk about it, but he's good, right?
Yes, that's my understanding.
Joe Wilkie is the member of the school committee who, you know, I think is a fabulous young town official. And
one of the smartest guys I have ever met.
Right. And you know me.
And that says a lot, right, Warren? That says a lot.
All right. Well, that will do it. Thank you all for your participation. It's been good. We'll do this again before the election, but it's going to be a long spring. There's a lot to talk about, and... you know, at the end of the day, it's all good work that you're doing, so stay with it. We will be back. Jim Scanlon's going to join us. Stick with him.
It's okay, I understand. This ain't no never, never land. Hope that when this issue's gone, I'll see you when your clothes are on. Take your car, yes we will. We'll take your car and drive it. We'll take it to a motel room and take them all private. Party has just been ripped. Pages from a mind of strength.
WCAP, Lowell, Haverhill, Lawrence, Methuen, Nashua, and Salem, New Hampshire, serving the Merrimack.